Hello everyone and welcome back to JTalk Short Corner, the mini pod that keeps you up to date with events in J3 of the J-League. I'm your host Mike Innes and in this episode I'm delighted to begin the 2023 season previews. Four pods covering the 20 teams in the division this year, some comment on their pre-seasons, transfer ins and outs, listener questions and even an attempt to predict what lies ahead. Let's jump straight in with Vanrale Hachinohe, who last year battled to a creditable 10th place finish via a late rally. That was overseen by Ryo Shigaki, who'd come in mid-season from Thailand, but who after the last match stood down and then re-emerged as the new coach at FC Osaka. The Vanrale front office have opted for an experienced replacement in Nobuhiro Ishizaki, who departed Katare Toyama in September. There's been a significant turnover of players at Hachinohe, and Ishizaki's first choice lineup is likely to be very different from that which ended 2022. Those who've left include a one-to-watch player I mentioned in the review pods in December, promising winger Ryusei Nose, who after illuminating the final third of the season has gone to Giravan's Kitakyushu. Centre-back Takeru Itagaki has followed Shigaki to Osaka, while another defender Ryusei Shimodo has been signed by Toyama. All three are losses for Ishizaki, who will also have to replace the ineffective but rarely dropped forward Yusei Kayanuma. For some reason, YSCC Yokohama think he's the player for them. And Kazuki Hattori, who despite being first choice keeper, was released late in the closed season. He joined Shigaki and Itagaki at Osaka. Hattori looks set to be replaced by either Hayate Tsuta, who stays on for another season, or Shogo Onishi making the move from Kagoshima United. All those defensive departures mean that's a priority area for Ishizaki, and he has new options to play with. Kodai Minoda, loaned from Shonan Belmare, Haruki Mitsuda, impressive at FC Gifu in 2021, overlooked last year at Matsumoto Yamaga, and three players from the JFL, Mizuki Aiba of Honda Lock and both of Kochi United's centre-back partnership, Daisuke Inazumi and Yusuke Hasegawa. Slotting into the Kayanuma role up front may be Takuya Miyamoto, who signs from Fujieda MyFC, having spent last year on loan at AC Nagano Parseiro. Miyamoto was a disappointment for Nagano, getting a deal seemingly on the basis that he might replicate the form of his one prolific season, 2020, when he scored 14. Hachinohe struggle for goals and Miyamoto may be no more the solution than was Kayanuma, although it would be good to see the terrier-like Aoi Sato get more minutes, while Yuya Himeno, accompanying Ishizaki from Toyama, will add quality just behind the front two, ideally alongside a Corky Maezawa recovered from long-term injury. In the final analysis, though, I can't see them scoring enough goals to improve on 2022, so I'll go for lower mid-table for Hachinohe. Iwate Gruja Morioka returned to J3 after a single season away, and as with Hachinohe, there's a major turnover of players for their fans to contend with. Many of the team's familiar names have been released, including Brazilian duo Brenne and Morelato, Taisuke Nakamura, captain Yusuke Muta, who's signed for fellow relegated side FC Ryukyu, and more. After 3 years as coach, Yutaka Akita has moved upstairs to become club president and has been replaced by former player turned TV pundit Yoshika Matsubara, who led SC Sagamihara for a handful of matches at the end of 2015, but other than that has pretty much no direct coaching experience. The paper cranes have cast their net wide when it comes to sources of new players. Two forwards, Ren Fujimura and Douglas Oliveira, make the move from J1's Hokkaido Consadole Sapporo. The Brazilian Douglas is on loan. Defenders Ryoma Ishida and Kairi Shinbo had decent J3 seasons last year for SC Sagamihara and Tegevajano Miyazaki respectively. There's potential experience to add to the back line as well in Masakazu Tashiro from Omiya Ardija and JTET favourite Lee Yong-jik, who heads in the opposite direction to Muta by signing from Ryukyu. Couple of interesting rookies as well. Corky Matsubara, no relation to the coach, played across the midfield for Kanto University League champions Meiji University. And striker Miyu Sato, while turning out for Kanagawa University, scored 8 in a single game, although this was in the lowly surrounds of the local prefectural university league. J Football Analytics focuses on the goalkeepers and asks if Kenta Tanno is likely to be the new first choice following his move from mighty Kawasaki Frontale. And my sense is that Tanno, who's 36 and has seen J1 action in each of the last two seasons, may get the nod ahead of Ken Tajiri, the signing from Gainare Tottori. And more listener questions get to the heart of the matter at Iwate. Numazu underscore MX wonders if they'll be promotion contenders. Gabriele Anello asks, where do you see Iwate after their year in J2? Suggesting they may end up safe in the middle of the standings. 2023 has the look of a transitional season. He may still be there in the background, but the Yuteka Akita era, which saw them make big strides in J3 but ultimately be unable to compete in the higher division, is now over. Yoshike Matsubara is almost completely untried and will be putting together a new team. Perhaps a slow start, but there's some quality there and Gab's assessment of mid-table looks about right. In contrast with the two clubs already discussed, Fukushima United keep their coach Toshihiro Hattori, and although they've lost some important players due to a combination of transfers and loan deals coming to an end, there's also a greater degree of stability at Fukushima. But in the 2022 reviews, I said Hattori had something to prove this year, and that feeling hasn't diminished when taking into account the relatively small amount of close-season traffic. It's top scorer Junya Takahashi and attacking midfielder Hikaru Arai who've moved on at the end of loans. Takahashi back to parent club Montedio Yamagata, Arai heading to FC Imabari. Blaublitz Akita came in for captain and central midfield linchpin Hiroto Moraoka, while wide man Riku Hashimoto has opted to join Sagamihara. As for who Hattori has been able to bring in, it's hard to be too excited. J Football Analytics asks questions about two of them. First, wondering if keeper Akira Fantini will get playing time after coming back from an uneventful loan to Renofa Yamaguchi. My initial instinct was that Kaito Yamamoto would remain first choice after two good seasons, but on reflection, just maybe Hattori is holding on to Fantini because he wants to switch away from the older player. The second question is about Shota Kobayashi. Is his move from Shonan Belmare a surprising one? How will he do in J3? There's a long-standing tie-up between Shonan and Fukushima, so it's no surprise to see players moving between the clubs. But when you consider Kobayashi's position, right wing-back, is the same as Kosuke Tanaka, one of Fukushima's better players last year, it gets harder to understand. The only way the deal might make sense is for Tanaka to move to the left as a replacement for Hashimoto, meaning veteran Tomohiko Miyazaki, a signing from Hattori's old club Jubilo Iwata, would be Tanaka's understudy. Kobayashi might do well and he might not, but as things stand, he looks like the solution to a non-existent problem. An actual, real issue to be addressed is that Hattori hasn't yet shown any inclination to prioritise the bringing on of younger players, but this is what he needs to occur in order to construct a new attack. Naoto Miki is a 21-year-old forward loaned from Iwata. Kanta Jojo is a rookie with a good scoring record at university level. Another rookie, Ryo Shiohama, says he's aiming to be J3 top scorer with 20 goals in his first pro season, while supporters will be hoping for breakout years from hitherto promising players like Shoki Nagano and Yuta Nobe. Otherwise, it's looking a tough campaign. As things stand, I think a final position outside the bottom five or six will be a big success for Fukushima. When it comes to YSCC Yokohama, the listeners ask the big questions. J Football Analytics wonders what a reasonable expectation is for them in 2023. Adric Guai comes straight out with it to query if YSCC will be safe from relegation. Ah yes, relegation. Something J3 teams have never before needed to worry about. But from this year, the possibility exists for up to two clubs to tumble out of the J-League and into the JFL. To be guaranteed safety, a team will have to finish 18th or higher in the new 20-team division. It's reasonable for a small club like YSCC to be considered candidates for relegation, but my feeling is that under coach Kei Hoshikawa, they should have enough about them to avoid the drop. Hoshikawa took over in May last year, and while he certainly didn't fix all the problems in front of him, YSCC ended the season with the worst attack and worst defence in the division. He did succeed in pulling them out of the bottom two. In seeking to repeat that feat for 2023, the former Inac Kobe coach will be able to base his attempt on more of his own squad, a smaller and more focused group of players, although without two club legends. Ekio Yoshida has retired at the age of 36. Kei Munechika has accepted an offer from Kamatamare Sanuki. And elsewhere, speedy front player Shuntaro Kawabe has joined Kagoshima United, and Tomoya Hayashi has been released, despite ending 2022 as top scorer. An attack based on the previously mentioned Yusei Kayanuma from Hachinohe and Yusuke Yoshii from Senoki is not going to be the most potent in J3, but my expectation is that YSCC will be a more solid proposition this year, with one of the division's most underrated keepers, Ryosuke Sagawa, staying on. Captain Kento Donate, after last season's experimentation, reverting to his role in a three-player back line, and two incomers at the heart of midfield. Shoto Kojima brings J2 experience from Jeff United Chiba. Takahiro Nakazato was most recently in the JFL, but prior to that turned out for Mito Hollyhock and Yokohama FC. Another new player may bring some much-needed flair. If you want a one to watch, that's rookie left wing-back Sukai Numata, balanced up by Shuntaro Koga on the right. Koga was the first player signed by Hoshikawa last summer, and is, in some respects, emblematic of the coach's developing relationship with the squad. He quickly found his position within the team, was allowed to make mistakes, and then emerged a better player. Hoshikawa will never have the strongest squad, but he can get enough out of his players to keep YSCC in J3 2024. Finally this week, one of the most difficult clubs to preview in the whole division. I wonder if there is, somewhere in the collective psyche at SC Sagamihara, a sense they made a mistake in achieving promotion in 2020. It feels as if, since then, everything that could go wrong has gone wrong, and it's during this close season that all the miscalculations, missteps and twists of fate have come home to roost. Having finished bottom of J3 2022, the team, now coached by former international defender Kazuyuki Toda, have undergone a cathartic clear-out, following which just 8 players remain from last year's squad. Only 2 even close to having been regular starters. Central midfielder Riku Tanaka and left-sided Tsubasa Ando. No defenders at all have stayed on. This is as close as a professional club gets to ripping things up and starting from scratch. I don't want to dwell on the outgoing players, but it would be rude not to mention that Jungo Fujimoto announced his retirement at the age of 38. Thanks for the memories. But looking ahead, who has Toda brought in? The names listeners may recognise are few and far between. Carlos Duke found his opportunities limited at Nagano last season. Winger Riku Hashimoto and raw prospect forward Ibrahim Junior Kuribara were at Fukushima. Former Zaspa Kusatsu Gunma defender Justin Toshiki Kinjo returns to the J-League after a season with Bonds Ichihara. 4 other players move from non-league, including defender Shuhei Kunihiro from Toda's previous employers Shibuya City of the 7th tier Tokyo Metropolitan League. Looking down the list, there are 7 rookies straight from university, of whom the most likely to see action may be centre-backs Ryoji Yamashita and the highly rated Yuto Minakuchi. Not much to pin your hopes on. J-Football Analytics asks if this focus on university players will be enough to right the good ship Sagamihara. Numazu underscore MX and Adric Guai question whether the club will be able to avoid relegation. With a coach untried in the J-League and an almost completely new set of players, assessing the results Toda could achieve is clearly a challenge. As I said regarding FC Gifu 12 months ago, Sagamihara have adopted a high-risk strategy to fixing the problems which have stacked up since that fateful day they won promotion. One hopes for success. A stronger sense is that another season of struggle lies ahead. In the next episode, I'll be previewing 5 more clubs ahead of the start of J3 2023. AC Nagano Parseiro, Matsumoto Yamaga, Katare Toyama, FC Gifu, and Azulclaro Numazu. Your questions on those clubs are invited via the usual means. But with all the week's business seen to then, that's it for this mini-pod. All that remains is for me to say thanks for listening, enjoy your football, and see you next time. Bye for now.